Good morning, everyone. Good morning to those of you at home as well. Lovely to have you with us. Do open your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start by reading, we're going to be looking at verse 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. We're going to start with a bit of audience participation. I'm going to give you two choices, and I want you to choose one or the other. So kids, you two, okay? So if you're here, hands up. If you're at home, hands up too. You might as well join in, even if we can't see you. So, I'm going to give you a choice of two things, and you've got to tell me which one you'd prefer. So, crisps or chocolate? Who would choose crisps over chocolate? Who would choose chocolate over crisps? Okay, that one's an easy choice for most of you. What about seaside or countryside? Seaside? Countryside. Ooh, pretty even split there. Okay, train or bus? Train? Bus. Well, nobody really likes the bus. Okay, fair enough. Now, some of those are quite hard to choose, aren't they? But some are really easy. If I'd said, which would you prefer to eat, mud or chocolate, I think that would have been 100% on the chocolate side, unless you've got a very, very severe allergy to chocolate. If I said being ill or being healthy, everyone would choose to be healthy. Some decisions are tough and some are what we call a no-brainer. That is, you don't need to use your brain. It's just an automatic decision. Now you'd think Jesus or the devil would be a no-brainer. It would be a decision that everyone would know what to choose. The disciples certainly did. This was the great news. Jesus, the Messiah, the promised King, had finally come to Israel. And yet, so many people were saying, no thanks, I'd rather do without him. And that confused the disciples. And it can be the same for many of us today. We've got this amazing news that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he brings to us eternal life, and we share it with people. And they just seem to think it's either terrible news or just something that may be good for you. Why is that? Well, as we mentioned last week, chapter 13 is really written to answer that question. All the rejection that we see in chapters 11 to 12. In chapter 13, Jesus is going to explain why people are split in this way. And that's one of the things he wants to do in this passage. But also, he wants to make sure that those who have ears to hear are going to make the right decision and choose him. And so that's what we're going to see in this passage. Two things. Firstly, why there's division. And secondly, what choice you should make. So firstly, why is there division? And that's because there's two seeds. In fact, there's not only two seeds, but there's two sowers. So in verse 37, we're told that Jesus is the one in this parable going out and sharing the good seeds. And then in verse 39, we're told that the enemy, the devil, is sowing seed as well. He's sowing weeds. So kids, do you know what a weed is? Do you know what a weed is, Ewan? It's a flower you don't want in your garden. So like a dandelion or nettles. Brambles, things that you really don't want to be there. Now we'll talk about what kind of weed this is later because it's actually really important. But that's the idea. Jesus is sowing good seeds and then the sneaky devil comes along and he sows bad seeds. And as the good seed grows, so the bad seed grows as well. They're both going to grow together. Now that's important for the disciples to know. They're seeing the longer Jesus keeps telling people about the kingdom, that more people are rejecting him as time goes on. And they need to really realize that this isn't a surprise. This isn't the plan failing. This is the way the world is. I remember when Lucy started playing Snakes and Ladders for the first time. You remember Snakes and Ladders? When Lucy started playing Snakes and Ladders for the first time, she really enjoyed it. If she was moving forward. She really, really enjoyed it if she went up the ladders. But if she landed on a snake, She thought, this is a rubbish game. I don't want to play it anymore. Do you remember that? But as she got a bit older, she realised that the snakes and the ladders are just part of the game. It's annoying that you go down the snake, but that's part of the game. That's the way it works. And similarly, the disciples and we need to realise that this is the way the world is. There is always going to be division. Sometimes, Christians, we get a bit frustrated at the way the world is. The world seems to be going further and further away from God. Should expect that. Or we get frustrated in our ministries. Maybe you're a leader at a children or youth organisation. Maybe you're leading a course, guiding people through the message. Maybe you're just sharing your faith with a loved one. And sometimes you get the really good news that someone has trusted in Jesus. But sometimes you don't. And sometimes that can make us stop. We think, well, maybe I'm not gifted in telling people about Jesus. Or maybe I'm getting it wrong. Or maybe I've got to choose the right people to share the message with. But no. Jesus is clear that good seeds and bad seed will both grow together. That should not make us stop. We've got to keep preaching. Because that's the only way that the good seed is going to grow. Yes, the bad seed will grow too. But we can't stop preaching because of bad responses. That can be discouraging. And there's a reason Satan's good at his job. But there is wheat out there. Jesus has sowed his good seed. And it will grow. Now, one thing you might think about that is, well, wouldn't it be easier to focus on those we know are going to believe? Those who are, I've sometimes heard the phrase, low-hanging fruit. You know, look for the people who are most likely to respond. Well, have a look at verses 27 to 30. In the story, the owner, who's Jesus, is told by his servant, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" And he tells him, "An enemy did this." And then the servants ask him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may upreap the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." Now, you might think this is very untrusting of the man, of the owner in the story. It's very interesting of Jesus. Of course, anyone could tell what the weeds are. We went for a walk yesterday, last Sunday afternoon, and I was thinking about this sermon. As I was walking through the field near our house, I saw some thistles growing. I thought, it's very obvious that they're thistles. You could easily get them up. But actually, the weed that is spoken of here is what's called a bearded darnel, or darnel. I don't know how you pronounce it. And apparently, it looks exactly like wheat until it's fully grown. Okay? And so, what's going on here is this thing that's been sown in the field, it can't be distinguished from the real wheat. If you go around and say, "Oh, I think that's one of the bearded darnels," you pull it up, and it could actually be wheat that's being removed. And this is the point. It's impossible to tell in this world, impossible, who the good seed are. And that's why that message must go out to everyone. I remember when I was younger, I was at university, I think I probably told you this before, and we were handing out invitations to an event that we were doing. And as I was going along, I was seeing people coming up, and if someone was looking lonely and on their own, I think, oh, well, maybe they'd be likely to come along to our lunch bar just because they're lonely, so I'll try and share it with them. But on one occasion, this big group of lads, 10 or 12 lads, rugby players, massive lads, came through the door. And I was intimidated by them, full stop, but even more intimidated about going and inviting them to come to this event. And then suddenly within me, I got challenged, and I thought to myself, actually, how do I know? How do I know that person's more likely to come to this event than that one? How do I know that there isn't someone in that group that God had his hand upon, rather than the ones even who were handing out the invitations? It is impossible to tell. And that's why the good news message must go out to all. It also means that there's not going to be a huge difference on this earth in the way they're treated. We're told here that the field is not the church, it's the world.
And so what we see in the world is that Jesus will allow the universe to respond pretty much the same way to all people. So earlier in the book, Jesus tells us that God gives good gifts to both the just and the unjust. He makes his sun rise on both. And that's what we see, isn't it? It's not necessarily obvious who is a Christian and who isn't. It's not that the Christians go around and there's a sunbeam on them all day, every day, that nothing bad ever happens to them. And it's not that people who've rejected Jesus just have a life of misery. Life will be pretty much the same for both on this earth. So what we see here is that on the earth, there won't be any distinguishing marks that someone is good seed and someone isn't. It could be that someone in the church right now who we all ascertain is a Christian isn't. And it could be that there's someone out in our community who doesn't even know Jesus yet themselves, who is one of the good seed that is eventually going to grow into the wheat that Jesus is looking for. So if you're a Christian, don't be discouraged. And don't seek out the perfect opportunity with the perfect person who you know is definitely going to respond, because those people just don't exist. But if you're not a Christian now, also don't assume that because the world is rosy for you, that you don't need to look into this. The Bible says that's exactly what you should expect. You should expect that life will be pretty much the same for everyone who lives on the earth. There'll be ups and downs, but it'll be pretty much the same. The important difference between Christians and non-Christians is not here on this earth. It's in the future. So we've seen why there's division, because there's two different types of seed. But now let's think about what's going to happen to those two types of seed. Which choice should you choose? And I would argue that choosing Jesus is a no-brainer. And here's why. The farmer in the story, he lets the good seed and the bad seed grow up together. But one day, the harvest comes. And once the harvest comes, the distinction is patently obvious. The weeds are collected. They are not useful in any way whatsoever to the farmer, and they are thrown into a fire to be burnt. What is this symbolizing? Verses 41 to 42. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. On its own, verse 41 is good news. Sin and evil is cast out of this world. There's going to be a world without any suffering whatsoever. But verse 42 is very bad news if you're not in Jesus. Verse 42 describes what we would call hell. And hell is so impossible for us to understand that Jesus has to give us some word pictures of truly terrible things so we can get the vaguest inkling of how bad hell is. It's described as a blazing furnace, as fire that burns. It's described as like weeping, a great suffering. It's described as the gnashing of teeth, something that Jewish people would do when they were in utter despair. That is the fate of those who don't trust in the Son. What about those who do? Well, we're told in verse 43, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's actually something that wouldn't have been new to the disciples. In Daniel 12:3, it says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. The brightness there is probably symbolic, as it often is, of holiness, of being good like God. So God is said to shine because he is so good, he is so perfect. And that will be the same with believers. I don't think necessarily we're going to walk around with a big halo, but we will be pure from sin. We will never sin again. We will never suffer again. So we will be holy, we will be pure. And the other thing is, we will be in the kingdom, Jesus says, of their Father. He doesn't say my Father, though that would be true. He says their Father. No Jewish person would be bold enough to call God their father. Jesus was getting stoned to death for saying it about himself on occasions. But what Jesus is saying is the righteous will be adopted. They will be treated like true sons and daughters bearing the family likeness. The division couldn't be more stark. Some things that make difference in the long term don't make much of a difference in the short term. Think, for example, about taking up smoking. In the short term, you probably won't see much of a change. But if you look at a cigarette packet, it will show you what's going on in your lungs, what's going on in your veins. The short term may not be that different, but the long term is catastrophic. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's telling us when we look around the world now, we won't see much of a difference, but in the long run, it's vital that you trust in me. Now, Jesus says at the end of his parable this week, as he said last week, whoever has ears, let them hear. We need to listen to this. We need to respond to it. Christians, you might sometimes think, is it worth it? My life doesn't seem to be any easier by virtue of the fact that I believe in Jesus. I still suffer. I still feel low. I still struggle with sin. I still have difficulties at work, all of these problems. My life doesn't seem that much different than my non-Christian friends. In fact, often, it seems worse. Well, it is when you look only at the short term. But when you look at that long-term view, you see that it is worth following Jesus. I remember on a YKP camp we were on one year. I think it might have been Josh, actually, who said this one. But one of the speakers got a big long rope going out of the room and he tied a knot in the end, and there was this little bit and he said, imagine that this rope just goes on out of the room forever and ever and ever. And this little bit, the other side of the knot, is our life. It seems right now that 70 years, 80 years, 90 years is a long time. But actually all of that for all eternity, that's going to last a lot longer. Be willing to make sacrifices now for the long term. So Christians, don't buy into this short-term thinking when we look at our world and we think it's all going wrong. No one will ever respond. No, Jesus is on the throne. You will be in the kingdom, and there will be some out in our community, out in your families, who will respond as well. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, obviously you need to figure out whether this is true. It'd be very easy to just kind of guilt trip people into this, like, you know, hedge your bets. It's better to end up in heaven than in hell. That's not the kind of thing we're saying. You've got to think about this. You've got to figure out whether it's true. But also, at least realise that the stakes here are important. You can't just push this to one side. It might not be something you want to hear. It might be something that sounds offensive. But if it's true, then you need to know. So I'd encourage you, even if it doesn't seem like an important task, figure it out. Figure it out if it's true. And if you come to the point where you see that it is, don't delay. And particularly this morning, given that we're about to go into, well, we've gone into a new school year, people are starting to go off to uni. Izzy's already there. We hope she has a good time at a new church this morning. You might be thinking to yourself as you go out from your house, oh, who cares if I don't get involved in a church? Who cares if I just live my life for a little bit of time? Well, in the short term, it may not matter. But look at the long term. Look where it's heading. Friends, there's always going to be division in the world. There will always be people who hear the message of Jesus and think, this is the best news ever. But there will also always be people who hear the message of the kingdom and say, nah. Or maybe just, how dare you? Jesus tells us to expect that. But when it comes to the final outcome, it should be a no-brainer. Eternal joy or eternal pain. It's a horrible thing to talk about. It's a horrible thing to think of. But if it's true, then you need me to tell you. Jesus ends by saying, whoever has ears, let them hear. People who don't have spiritual ears, they'll always reject, but those who have spiritual ears, they will hear this warning. They will look at the evidence, they'll see it's true, and they'll know they need to respond. So maybe this morning, there is someone whose spiritual ears are tingling for the very first time, and they need to respond. Let me remind you what Jesus tells you. There are two options before you, heaven and hell. There's a verse in the Bible that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you want to not perish, and if you want to have eternal life, that verse says that what you need to do is believe in him. Believe that he died to take your punishment. Believe that he can give you eternal life. And if you do, what is spoken of in verse 43 will be yours. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father.